welcome back to Don't Look Under the Bed. This week, we are delighted to speak with our guest, Monet Hambrick, content creator, travel influencer, and founder of The Traveling Child, where her motto is, if kids live there, kids can visit. Monet has successfully turned her passion for travel into a business. Please enjoy this episode. Welcome back to Don't Look Under the Bed. I'm Robin.
And I'm Nikki.
And our guest today is Monet. Monet, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Listen, we love everything that you all are doing. You have normalized luxury travel for family, and we follow you on Instagram. We follow your lives. We follow you all over the world. Tell us how you got started.
So honestly, I've just personally always loved to travel. I'm a first generation American to two Jamaican born parents. So I had a passport literally from the time I was born, because we were always going back and forth to Jamaica to see my grandparents. And even when we weren't going to Jamaica, I have a very large family. I have 17 aunts and uncles. That doesn't include their spouses, you know, so I have so many pictures of me sitting on someone's lap in the back seat of a car, you know, before car seats were a thing, just like driving up and down the East Coast, like going all over with my family. My parents would take me with their siblings to different, you know, different places. So it was something that was always kind of instilled in me. And then when I was in high school, I actually got this scholarship for this program called Experiment in International Living. And I went to Botswana for 5 weeks at 16. And I stayed with a host family. Wow. In the village of Odi. And I had an amazing time. And for me, that was like the turning point of what like travel meant to me, the way that I like to travel, and just like, you know, digging a little bit deeper when possible. And then, yeah, I love to travel. So I studied abroad when I was in college. I studied abroad in Beijing at Tsinghua University for part of my undergrad. And then my husband, we started dating in college. We actually studied abroad on that trip to Beijing together. Wow. But yeah, we always knew that if we had kids, travel was not something that would stop for us. So when we had Jordan, who's our eldest, you know, before she was two, we had went to Jamaica, we went to Italy, we went to Greece, we went to different parts of the United States. And when I had Kennedy, the same thing, I was on maternity leave and I was like, ooh, when I go back to work, I'm gonna have to ask people for days off. So I better take advantage of not having to ask anybody. And we went to Colombia, to Medellin and Cartagena when I was on maternity leave with her. And my friend was like, oh, you should start an Instagram like about your travels, because you're like always going places with your kids. And there's so many parents that think like, you know, you can't travel once you have kids. And honestly, I thought it was the dumbest idea in the entire world. And I told her it was stupid and I would not be doing that. And then I think I was bored one day and I was like, okay, maybe I'll see. And here we are almost 6 years later. And I don't understand how this is really my life, but I mean, it's just something that's always been a passion. I never wanted to stop traveling. So now I just, you know, we share our adventures and hope to show other parents and want to be parents in the future, you know, that just because you have kids doesn't mean that you can't continue to explore the world.
I love
that. Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So
I've been to Beijing. And what did you think about it when you went? I went in 2018, so it's a different kind of place for sure. What was it like for you in the, like for a long-term situation? I was there for maybe 13 days, but.
So I was there in 2007.
Okay.
They were actually preparing for to host the Olympics.
Okay.
But yes, China is different.
Yes.
It is very like, they just don't see Black people. So we were followed a lot, like, and not in the sense of like trying to hurt us, but just like following us so they can sneak up behind us and take a photo.
Take a picture.
And they would call us different, like, famous people's name. And I'm like, clearly we are not those people. But to them,
they were fascinated by us. And they wanted to, I saw lots of people when I was there. They were like pushing their grandmother in the group so she could be in a photo with us. And, you know, one of the girls had like the lavender, she had like long lavender braids down to her waist. And they were just fascinated by that and wanted to touch her hair. And it was a different kind of experience. So
a very different. I remember, like, there is this massage place we would go to like all the time because it was $7 for an hour.
Yeah.
And we would go all the time. And I remember, like, the lady, like, literally, like, touching my face and my features and was like, oh, like, your eyebrows and your eyelashes, like, they're like this. And I went to the mall and the lady was like, you're so pretty for a dark person. You're very dark, but you're pretty, very dark though. And that's just like, they don't see, you know, anything
no
wrong.
No filter at all. That's it. Yeah.
So China was an experience.
Yes. Yes, it was.
Wow.
Yeah.
So as you're traveling abroad, because that's a good point, when you're in these places where maybe they aren't used to seeing us in these environments, how has that been for you?
So, you know, I'm a firm believer that we belong and deserve to be in all spaces and explore all places. So, you know, for my family, you know, we've done like 6 or 7 RV trips and we've gone to places, you know, like Copenhagen and, you know, in Denmark and like other places that some people don't, as Black people don't think of as a first place, like, oh, yeah, we're going to go there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes I get comments from my community asking me, well, like, did you feel safe, like, at a RV park in the middle of, you know, Utah or Arizona, you know, where it's like the middle of, you know, America, or we went to Kansas last summer and South Dakota, and we did a road trip in Kansas. But going to those places, thankfully, we personally have not had any negative experiences. Mm-hmm. I remember the first night that the first RV trip we ever took, the first night, by the time we got to the campsite after dinner to get hooked up, it was like 9 p.m. It was pitch black because it was winter. Mm-hmm. It was Thanksgiving week. So it was like pitch black. It was freezing outside and like the guy had given us a tutorial on how to hook up the RV, but that was like, you know, like 12 hours earlier in the day. I took a video, but my husband, like, it was him because I definitely was not helping. He could not figure out the electricity and it's like 5 degrees outside. So we need some heat. So I knocked on the person next door and, you know, it's pitch black. We're like the only Black people at this camp. And it's this older white man. And I'm like, I'm really sorry, but we don't know what we're doing. And we can't figure out how to hook it up. He's like, oh my God, give me a second. Let me get my coat. He came out there. He did it, showed my husband exactly what to do. And then he was like, don't worry if you need anything else, please, like, don't hesitate to, you know, knock on our door again. He came inside, had himself a cup of tea, was talking to us for like the next 40 minutes.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, just like, but we wouldn't have had that experience or been able to tell that story, which is a different narrative than sometimes we hear if we didn't give it a try, And on that trip too, we met a single mom with a daughter. The girls ended up playing with her. We were in her RV one night for like 4 hours while the kids were playing. That was in 2018 and we still talk to each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. So, you know, we've had these experiences and yes, sometimes is it scary stepping out of your comfort zone 100%, but we belong everywhere. I mean, even the Kansas trip.
Yeah.
For me personally, when we went to Kansas, like, of course I'm like, okay, like I want to go to all 50 states. Like I want to go, but it is like the middle of America.
Yeah.
Come to find out, Kansas has an African American History Trail, which is a designated like program that they have. And they have 8 locations throughout Kansas that you can go and like all these museums. And I personally had never heard of Gordon Parks before.
Okay.
The photographer. And we learned, and we learned about him in Kansas. They have a museum that's dedicated to him in the city in Kansas that he's from. Mm-hmm. And I probably wouldn't have learned about him otherwise, right. You know, and we got to go to Monroe Elementary, which, you know, is where the Brown versus Board of Education started, where that, you know, lawsuit came about. So sometimes it's scary, but I hope that, you know, we push people out of their comfort zone a little, because we have had very positive experiences doing so.
That's awesome. You make it look so easy and so accessible. So talk about how you're able to do this now full time, just like live your passion and create these wonderful experiences for your daughters and your husband. And do any of your other family members go with?
So definitely I pinch myself every day, like this cannot be real life. So there's that. My parents come a lot. Actually, we got to all work together with Royal Caribbean last summer. We got to shoot a 12-day commercial. Like we shot a commercial, like we're shooting for 12 days in Alaska, and my parents got to come. So that was absolutely amazing. Personally now, I mean, prior to this, you know, now obviously like we get sponsors, you know, not all the time, but we do get sponsorships, which help pay for our trips. Or sometimes if we work with a tourism board, you know, they're covering our expenses. But prior to, honestly, like travel was just something that was really important to us. So we made the sacrifice in other areas so that we could travel. I mean, we got married at 25 and had Jordan at 20. I think I was 26 when I had Jordan and 28 when I had Kennedy. So, you know, younger parents. And we just decided that it was something that was something that we really wanted to do. So we sacrificed things like, even now we still don't have cable. Like we cut our cable because
I remember you saying that we're not doing cable. I'm not going to get my nails done. You know, you do or, other
do
things.
Do you see my nails?
Right.
They are not, like, they are not done.
Like, listen, we put our money aside for the things that we want to do. And you want to create these experiences for your family.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. We can all make sacrifices. We can always, can all cut costs in certain areas. And I can tell you what we did, but at the end of the day, everyone has to make, you know, those decisions on what they can cut for them. For me, you know, even living in Miami now, I stopped driving to work because there was a professional bus that would take people to downtown Miami. And I started taking the bus. My job subsidized the bus. It was $48 a month. The bus stop was literally 5 minutes from my house. And then I no longer had to pay $14 in tolls every day, gas, you know, less wear and tear on my car. So I was saving so much money. And some people are not willing to make that sacrifice. Yeah. Oh, I don't want to ride the bus, but it was, if I could put that money into our travel savings account and we can go on another trip for the year, then for us, it was worth it.
Wow. And I guess you have to align with what your goals and your passion and how you're going to get there. I know one question, and I struggle with this, is how do you pack up a family of four? Because I'm like the packing police. You don't need that. Take that out. Put that down.
Me too. And that's exactly what happens. I'm like, you don't need that. Oh my God, my husband is the worst. I'm like, you are not going to wear that. And then you'll have like six shoes. And I'm like, I said, what outfit are you wearing these shoes with? Oh, well, I said, okay, you have another pair of shoes that are packed here that are the same color. No, you're going to wear those. Oh, well, then no, take these out. What I do is I color coordinate our outfits in the sense of like everything that I pack for myself can be worn with one pair of shoes. And that's the pair of shoes that I pack. And I wear my heavy shoe. Like if I wear like if I have a sneaker like and a sandal, I wear my sneaker on the plane because we do carry on only. And I put my sandals in our luggage and everything coordinates. You know, when we're staying at Airbnbs, I book places that have washing machines if we're staying longer because we can wash clothes and then rewear things and mix and match. Or Like when we were just in Egypt, we did laundry while we were there. We just, you know, had the hotel do the laundry for us because we were there for 17 days. Mm-hmm. And the weather in winter is like some days, depending on where you are, it'd be like 85 degrees. But then in other places, it'd be 40 degrees. So we needed, you know, different type of attire. But just having them do laundry, you know, we've spent probably like $50 the whole time doing laundry, but that $50 is worth us not having to carry an extra checked mm-hmm. bag and just being able to do carry on. So things like that. I have a packing blog post with all my tips, but yeah, really packing clothes that all go with the same pair of shoe is key because shoes take up the most space.
They do.
They do. Yeah. They do. That's where I need to improve my packing game.
Right, like exactly.
I'm good, but I need to level up.
Yeah,
because people go on vacation and they're like, oh, I need 4 outfits for the day. I'm like, do you wear 4 outfits a day at home? No.
That part. It's like, come on. Right. And do you really want to stand out as that tourist? I mean, I know you get dressed up for the photo ops and things like that, but you really do come home with a lot of this stuff not worn, right? I mean, if you pack so much.
Yeah, if you're packing that much, there's no way that you're wearing all that stuff. Like you're not.
Right, yeah. Right. So how many countries have you all been to? If you...
You know, I'm not really like sure. I know the girls have been to over 30 countries, but I don't really know. I'm not really sure how many I've been to and I'm not sure the exact number, but...
Okay, well, that's a good number.
I have a map on like that we put pins in.
Yes.
And there's definitely at least 30 pins in there. So.
Wow. So I'm not going to ask, you know, like what's your favorite or whatever, but because I've watched, they're all your favorites.
Yes, it's so hard.
Yeah. I saw you in Guatemala, which was so unusual. I would have never considered going there until mm-hmm. I watched your, you know, your posts and it just looks so beautiful. And so how did that one come about?
It was, oh my God, Guatemala was absolutely stunning. Definitely slid into my top 10 places that we visited. It's just so, so beautiful. And honestly, like the same way that you got inspiration from my post, I know someone who's been there and I saw their post and I was like, oh my God, it looks so beautiful. They had a great flight deal for the week of Thanksgiving, which is when we went because the kids didn't have school that week. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's how we chose to go there. I'm actually going to El Salvador in April.
Oh, nice.
So that will be also maybe, you know, more off the beaten destination for some Americans. But yeah, we love, you know, obviously we go to like the big, I'm doing quotations, they can't see, you know, they can't see me, but like, you know, the big places, but we also love exploring the places that aren't as popular as well, because mm-hmm. I mean, as you said, like Guatemala was just like, I would go back to Guatemala in a heartbeat. Oh my God. It was
amazing. It looks so beautiful. Talk about, so we're in the age of social media and this whole thing where people will go to the same place to get the same shot, you know, like with the horses and with the, there's a whole business behind it now, you know, with mm-hmm. that swing that goes out there and, you know, and the flowing dresses and the hot air balloon, that's like a whole business now. How, I mean, it's so creative for them to create those mm-hmm. experiences for tourists. I mean, how did that come about? You know, where that became a thing?
I'm not sure. I have no idea. I don't know if it's, and that's the thing, because with Instagram, you don't know, like, were people doing all these things before, or was it just since like Instagram, someone did it and then like a lot of people saw it and then more and more people did it. So more and more people saw it. I'm not really sure, because maybe I would graduated from, I'm trying to think, was there Instagram when I was in grad school or not? I don't really know when Instagram.
So I remember Instagram kind of came around like 2008, 2009, when it kind of.
So I was in undergrad then. I was in college, but I don't really remember using Instagram. We used Facebook and I remember Twitter was huge then, but I don't mm-hmm. really remember using Instagram until after I graduated. But yeah, I mean, I feel like when, I mean, when I went to Paris, when I was younger, like took pictures at the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah. Too, oh yeah, for sure.
You know, so.
But that's yeah, been there forever. I don't know
where these come
but this
from.
Thing, like with the horses, I'm like, who even knew that that was there? You know,
I think when you look on Instagram and mm-hmm. everybody's got their filter working and it's like your best shot. And that's what creates right. the interest.
Yeah, because right. Instagram is a highlight reel.
Right. Right. And you're like, wow. And that's probably the same whatever that you maybe walked through, didn't even think about it being yeah. there. But yeah. now all of a sudden it's a thing.
So yeah, true.
So, so I'm interested to know which came first. You know, I went to Turkey and I stumbled upon this beautiful door that I'm gonna take a picture of, or I'm going to Turkey to take a picture of the door. You know what I mean? So I'm trying to figure out which came first.
I don't know. I think that's the thing with tourism these days too, especially when you talk about like, you know, other countries and their viewpoints of when they get tours, it's like mm-hmm. pros and cons. It's like, you know, social media has brought so many people to so many destinations that, yeah. you know, they otherwise wouldn't go to, because just like you that's said, true. I mean, you're not the first person that told me they would have never thought of going to Guatemala before they saw our post. Yeah. And literally since we went, I know I'm at least 14 people that have messaged me that follow us and told me specifically, we have now gone to Guatemala or booked mm-hmm. Guatemala specifically because of your post.
Yeah.
But there's pros and cons, because some people within the country are all for that. They want the tourists. They want, you know, that tourism income. But then you have the downfall with, you know, with cities like Venice that are like, please stop coming here.
Please stop coming here. They're right. they're over us in Venice, Italy. They're like, you know? Okay, so much. So stop. Yeah.
So it depends, because then if everyone stops going, then they might be asking people to come mm-hmm. again. And then, you know, for me as a content creator who works with tourism boards too, it's mm-hmm. like, well, mm-hmm. you hear from one side people saying this, but then the tourism board is reaching out to me, asking me to come to specifically promote yeah. their destination. So sure. it's like, what, you know, it's like, I don't, what yeah. is it?
You have to follow your passion and follow the coin.
Well, I think it's a fine line.
Yeah.
It's truly a fine line. I'll never forget. And this was like pre-Instagram, whatnot. We were in Aruba, and the natural bridge there was like one of those things that you wanted to see. And,
yeah.
you know, it was like part of an ancient cave that had been carved out by the ocean. And that weekend we went, we saw it and, you know, ooh, odd, and took pictures or whatever. That same weekend, that thing collapsed into the ocean.
Yeah.
And I was like, we were just there yesterday.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, it's crazy, but
and it just fell. So it's yeah. like, what do you do?
No, it's true, because I mean, well, when you think about pre-Instagram things, well, okay, so I'm Jamaican, and what came up in my head is Duns River Falls. I mean, yeah. that has been popular oh, yeah. for way before Instagram, and everyone mm-hmm.
yeah.
who goes to Jamaica, who's a tourist, is like, I'm going to Duns River Falls. Yeah. I mean, growing up, we would go, and it's packed no matter when we would packed. Go. So it is kind of like, did Instagram really do these things or did it not? But I went to Australia and I went to Melbourne and I went to see the 12 apostles. There's not 12 anymore. And that's another thing. They said most likely eventually, like, none of them will be there. And when I went,
right.
there weren't 12. I can't remember how many were there. But mm-hmm. yeah, a lot of these natural wonders that people go to see, you don't know, you know, how yeah. long they'll be there. I mean, when the yeah. Notre Dame caught fire in Paris.
Oh my God. Yes.
You know? Yes. And I'm like, oh my God, thank God I've been there a few mm-hmm. times. Like, yeah, you don't exactly. know.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing too. When sometimes people are like, oh, I don't go places. If I go places, I don't go to touristy things. And I'm like, well, I do both. Cause I'm yeah. gonna get me my picture in front of the Eiffel Tower. Okay?
That's,
I'm not going to Paris and not see the Eiffel Tower.
I was gonna say, you've traveled all that way. You have to get the shot.
I have to
get the shot. So talk about what was I gonna say? So talk about the girls. What's it like traveling with them? Do they get excited about going? Do they learn beforehand like what the itinerary is, or what's in it for them, or what's it like?
So I don't tell them the itinerary, because okay. these children will be bothering you every single
okay.
day.
Okay.
What day are we doing this? What, I want to do this today. No, ma'am. That's not how it works. You will find out what we're doing when we get mm-hmm. there. But they've been traveling. I mean, Jordan's first trip was at 6 weeks old.
Okay.
Kennedy's so, yeah. First trip was at 10 weeks old, and we went
so to they Columbia. They keep a packed suitcase.
Yeah. So they have been on the go literally since birth. They love it. There's a mixture of, you know, most of our trips, it's flight deal first, and then maybe like if the tourism board invites us to come. But last year for Jordan's birthday, all she had been talking about was going to Mexico because she wanted to learn the Mexican culture and she wanted to go to Chichen Itza. So we
were they making tortillas or something?
Yes. And we made a whole traditional Mexican like 4-course meal.
Yeah.
And so you know, sometimes it's what they're interested into. Like I do a one-on-one trip each year with one of them alone, like just me and Jordan or just me and Kennedy. And like for that trip, they 100% like pick where they want to go. Like Jordan, she goes on the computer. She literally types in, good ideas for a mommy and me trip.
Oh,
she like does research. So she'll do research and look up like the things that she wants to do. So we're actually going away this weekend. She said she wanted to go to a Caribbean island where she can do something exciting.
Oh.
So we're going to Exuma's in the Bahamas going to go swimming with the sharks.
Yes. Wow. That's exciting.
Yeah. So I said, girl, it can't get any more exciting than this.
Oh my goodness. Oh, that's wonderful.
So they pick for that trip. They tell me, you know, either where they want to go or what they want to do. And then I'll like find a destination that, you know, offers those things to them. So it's really all a mix, but they love it. I remember one time I had to check Jordan because we were driving to school and she was like, we haven't been on a plane in a while. When are we going to go on another trip? And I was like, ma'am, first of all, you went on a trip like 2 weeks ago. Yes. I don't know who you think you are, but things are in this world are not free, ma'am. So let's bring you back down to earth.
Yes. But they've been afforded a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. Yes. And it's just so great to see them embrace it. And, you know, for you to provide that, I just absolutely love it. What's it like for you now, like garnering all this attention? I mean, everybody wants to talk to the traveling child and have you come visit and all this stuff. What's that like?
It's overwhelming at times. I won't lie. You know, it is, but it's also exciting. I pinch myself every day. Like, how is this even possible? Like, how is this my life? How am I making income from this? Like, how is this how I pay my bills? But it's wonderful. We've gotten to do some pretty amazing things that we otherwise wouldn't, or, you know, explore destinations that we wouldn't. Like, we partnered with the Kansas Tourism Board when we went there. And honestly, like, while we wanted to visit all states, it was nowhere at the top of our list, but I'm so glad we got to go. And when we went, because it was truly an amazing experience. Mm-hmm. So we've definitely been blessed. And it's very humbling, you know, to hear people say, you inspired me to go here, or because of you, like, I found this flight deal and I never thought, you know, I'd be able to afford for my family to leave the country. And now we're able to go here because of the tips that you gave. Mm-hmm. It's obviously travel in the grand scheme of like life of important things is not like the top thing, but it does mean a lot to me. You know, when people send messages like that, I'm like, okay, I made like a small impact. And
it's
a beautiful absolutely. Thing.
Yeah.
And it's such a gift. I think you don't realize how much of a gift it can be to give to someone. Whereas, you know, it's you can't see your life any other way, but then you have somebody, they can't see it at all.
Yeah.
And then so they listen to you and then they figure out, wow, that is possible. Mm-hmm. You know, I can go here. I can do this. So awesome.
So is there anything that you can think of that, like for us, we're Nikki and I are both in the hotel business. I mean, have you had any, not adverse, but I mean, maybe opportunities, you know, when you get to the hotel, because everything on Instagram is perfect and it looks perfect. And give us one of those things where it's like, where it wasn't quite as you know, the expectation wasn't met, or a tip that you can give for, you know, maybe a hotel person that's listening, or, a service person.
I would say, the biggest thing is just like treating everyone with the same level of respect and service, regardless of like their appearance. Like I know, like personally, like I have diamond status with Hilton. I have platinum elite status with Marriott, and sometimes like I'll go to the hotels and like, if you have diamond status with Hilton, like that's the top status. Like,
oh yeah,
I'm not like a rude person. I'm not coming there expecting you to like, you know, like bend over backwards. I'm not being rude to you, but like we went to a hotel the other day that was a Hilton brand. And like when they checked me in, like when you're diamond, like they're supposed to say, oh, thank you for your service. Like explain to you like the benefits. Like she didn't say anything. She just like gave me my key. And then I was like, oh, like, is there complimentary breakfast here? Or like, what are the perks? You know, like, are there any upgrades available?
Yeah.
And then she's like, for what? Like, why would you like, why? And then I was like, well, I have diamond status with Hilton. And then she like, look, she's like, oh, and it's like, that's just something that I don't know if it was because like my appearance, it was 11:30 at night. I had on sweatpants and a t-shirt, but I don't think you shouldn't do your due diligence. Yeah. You know,
that should not dictate the behavior. I mean, definitely. Right, I mean, they can see your name and they can see your status right, and they can see how many points you have and all that. So yeah, that's a training opportunity. Yeah,
so
for sure.
They just need to be aware.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like things like that sometimes. And it's happened to me at another hotel before too. Like the staff was not very nice to me and my friends. And then when the manager came and she was like, oh my God, you have diamond status. And she was like, cause we came in like late and we were very hungry cause we were actually in Turkey and we flew from a different city. And like, we got in late and we asked them like about food and they were like, oh no, like there's nothing. And then like when we met with the concierge in the morning, cause we were trying to book a trip and she was asking us and we were just telling her, cause it wasn't that they didn't have anything. I don't expect you to have something if you don't have it, but it was more like the tone in which they were speaking to us. And she was like, oh my God, I am so sorry. She's like, for diamond status members, we have certain things that we can give. Like, yes, we're not going to give to a regular, you know, like, unfortunately, that is just how status works. They're not going to give it to like the other customer, but she's like, we have things. And it was just like, their attitude changed immediately after like she spoke to them. But I think sometimes, you know, people look at me and they think I'm very young and they treat me a little bit different than if I was like, you know, the white man coming in. So
and when you're at like diamond level or some of the higher level with these travel programs, it's like those are that brand's number one customers.
Right, because we're always staying there, which is why we have this status.
Right. Those are like, there's 52 weeks in a year. Mr. Smith is with us 45, or, you know, basically he's with the brand more than he's at his house.
I think last year we had like 67 nights at Marriott's.
And we
stay other places, like, you know, sometimes you do Airbnb, but like, yeah, like that's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that is a lot. That's like two, that's almost like two a week or one, like one and a quarter a week, at least once a week that you're in one of those branded hotels. And absolutely. I mean, that's saying a lot. That's saying a lot.
So Monet, what's next?
Who knows? I don't know. I can tell you where we're going next, but that's about all I know. Because, you know, every day I'm like, where can I take the brand? Like, what can I, you know, what can I do? But sometimes it's up in the air. Like, I can tell you what I'd love to do and what the kids would love to do. Like, you know, like a children's book. And I know I'm supposed to be writing like the next one, but Oh, Lord knows I try, and then like life gets in the way, but sure. Like, I would just love to, you know, continue to take like our positive images just off social media and like into a broader thing. So like, I've even thought of like turning our book into like an animated like YouTube series or something where like kids could watch it and it's like mm-hmm. animated instead. Mm-hmm. The kids really want their own TV show. I don't know who.
Of course they do. And they should
have. Why not? Yeah, show, why not?
So. I want that for them. Jordan and Kennedy, I'm looking out for you girls. TV show. We're going to speak it into existence.
Yes. Amen.
Monet, where can people find you before we wrap?
Yeah. On Instagram at the Traveling Child. YouTube, it's also the Traveling Child, the Traveling Child, youtube.com/the Traveling Child. Our website is thetravelingchild.co. I'm on TikTok too, the Traveling Child as well, but Instagram is where I'm at like most of the time.
I have one question for you before we let you go here. What is your favorite thing to do when you're visiting a city?
Ooh, so usually taking a cooking class, because I feel like you can learn so much about a culture through cooking. It's an intimate setting with like a local person, like you're there in their kitchen, like they're telling you about, you know, their history, their national dishes, like the spices they use, like they're letting you into, I feel like, their country's heart through food. So it's like a great way, like it's a fun experience. And it's a great way to learn about the culture. And yeah, we've taken cooking classes in almost like every country we've been to, and we love doing that.
That is so dope. That is awesome. Dope. So what's the message that you want to leave with everybody? I know you go on live, you give these great travel tips, and you get lots of the same question. What's like the one message you want to give relative to normalizing, you know, luxury travel for family and things like that?
I would say our motto, if kids live there, kids can visit. Like, you know, there's this mindset that kids can only go to certain places and certain type of trips. And believe me, my children absolutely love Disney. If they could go every weekend, they would.
Of course.
They also love canyoneering in Utah and hiking a glacier in Alaska and sandboarding in Morocco as much as that. And I think oftentimes parents especially get caught up because of what other people say. Oh, are you crazy? You're taking your kid there, or they're too young, or they're this, mm-hmm. but just follow your heart. And if it's something that you want to do, know that you can do it. And also know that in other countries, they treat families a lot better. So kids are not seen as a burden, but as a blessing. Yeah. So your family will be just fine. Yeah. Anyways, else.
We love that. Thank you so much for being on with us. We appreciate your time. We love watching you all travel the world. I'll let you know when I come back from Guatemala, because from Houston, I mean, it's like, I don't know, a couple hours.
Like I think it's like 2.5. It's not.
Yeah. So I'm going to go back and read the blog so I can find out everywhere you stayed. It looks so relaxing. And you went to a couple different places there.
Yeah. We went to Antigua and Lake Atitlan.
Yeah. Yeah. So we love it. And we appreciate your time tonight. Thank you so much, Monet.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
You too.
Bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
Oh my God, Mookie.
Thank you for listening to Don't Look Under the Bed. We appreciate your support of the show. Please subscribe, share, and leave a review. Thank you.